I'm not sure what it will take to get all of America concerned that there is an effort to infiltrate this country, to place Muslims in high places in this country, to run for high office. Are you aware, friends, that President Obama and Homeland Security Director Janet Napolitano have appointed, at this point, and there may be more, but they have been announced, two Muslims to the Homeland Security Department? Personally, I think that's a little bit like hiring an arsonist for your local fire department. But, you know, maybe these are moderate Muslims. We're going to address that issue just a little bit later. And one is right immediately under Janet Napolitano in rank. Also, President Obama is trying to get Muslims into rather high-level positions in the White House. Yet there are Americans, sadly today, who are more interested in American Idol and trips to the cabin than in the fact that infiltration, well, it's on fast forward. I don't know how else to say it. Now, I come from the same state as Congressman Keith Ellison, the first Muslim congressman coming from the state of Minnesota. Am I saying he's a secret terrorist? Of course I'm not saying that. But this just shows that the world of Islam is making inroads in high places, and this is part of their goal. And that's what we're going to spend most of this hour talking about. It's all of this is to say, don't let your guard down. Islam's goal is world domination, and one of the ways, and this is what we'll focus on today, one of the ways that they're looking to initiate world domination is through Dawah, and that's a softer, kinder jihad. It's infiltration. It's not necessarily training camps in America. It's not necessarily some of the violence that we see in America, that, well, certainly we see in other countries. We saw it on 9/11. We see that there are terror cells all across America. Another one was just exposed in the state of Virginia here in the last week or two. So I want to bring on my dear friend Carol to help us walk through exactly, again, Dawah is the duty to conquer, and it's to conquer by softer methods than jihad. And then we'll look at how successful this effort is. Carol Matriciano, welcome back to Understanding the Times.
Well, thank you so much, Jan. Yes, indeed. We have got to be awake and aware. Exactly what you said. And the one thing I would question is there such a thing as a moderate Muslim?
Yeah, I want to get there just a little bit later. Yeah, because, I mean, yeah, I know, I agree with you. Others would disagree, but we want to go there. Carol, there's a large number of Islamic, and I believe your film uses the term missionaries in the U.S. and worldwide. It would be nice, of course, if they would allow really Christian missionaries to come to their country, such as Saudi Arabia. And what they're trying to do by partly infiltration, a whole lot of goals, but one of them is evangelism. Help us understand this.
Well, I think one of the things is that we try so hard to apply Christianity or Western terminology to this religion of Islam. But we've got to understand that Islam, salam, first of all, means total submission, surrender, subjugation to Allah, which is considered the Muslim or the submission God. And Allah is not the same God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is a God that Muhammad himself, the prophet of Islam, called the moon God, the chief of all the pagan gods in the Arab culture. And that's why, Jan, on top of every mosque around the world, mm-hmm. you will see the symbol of the crescent moon. This is, Allah represents the moon god, the chief of the over 300 gods that Muhammad wanted all the tribes, the Bedouin tribes, of Arabia to submit to. So here we've got them all submitting, subjugated to this idea that this is the one God. This is the cry of Islam, submit to this one God. It is not the same concept that we have as the Trinity, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. It's not that. And they very clearly mention Jesus many times in the Quran, but they will not give Jesus the title of being the Son of God. So the evangelism, as you ask,
yes,
what is this evangelism? What is this missionary? We then apply our Christian terminology to the idea of forcing. It's a perpetual jihad to force all the world to come under Sharia law. And Sharia law is this law of Allah, this God that they believe in. And Sharia is very complex. It's a military God, a political constitution, a military movement. It engulfs legalism. It's how you spend your money, how you earn your money. It's how you eat, the dietary laws of Islam.
Right, but right now, that's okay. But right now, I want to finish our thought here. But that Muslim countries are actually learning English to win the West to Islam. Is that true?
Yes, it is.
And that
it's not only to win the world to Islam, it's to win them to a submission,
submission
to a Sharia law.
And that every 5.5 days, a new mosque opens somewhere in the U.S.
And the mosque is the training place, the center of training people to live under this constitution of how to eat, dress, et cetera, et cetera. Yes. So that's the missionary push. It's, you know, one has to try and understand what it is that they, what their duty to conquer is, to conquer the world to this mindset of complete submission to a totally different worldview.
Well, one of your guests in the film, forgive me, I can't remember her name, but she is Miss Former Alabama, and she was married to a Muslim, and obviously she's not any longer. I believe she's a Christian at this point. But she went on to talk in your film about missionizing. She was encouraged to have cross-cultural groups in her home once a month and talk about different issues. And I believe at the same time there was some subtle Islamic missionizing going on through her. Would that be true?
Absolutely. Her name is W. L. Carty.
Yes.
And Carty had these women there to teach them how they should dress. It was all through cultural ideas that they'd come into the community by trying to introduce the community to the cultural aspects of Islam. Remember again that the word Islam means submission.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to get this, the free world, if you will, the American public, to understand that submission is good and what one has to submit to in eating, how to dress, how to be married, how ultimately that the American woman must marry the Muslim man, and of course part of this proselytizing or missionizing or evangelism or however we want to call it is to marry these people, because they are permitted to have four wives at a time, so they are able to continue a polygamous relationship and have more. They could have a one-night stand, which W.L. Carty explained that it could just say, you know, she called it a one-night stand. They call it marriage, in order to seed the womb or to make the woman pregnant so that there would be greater numbers within America to be able to submit to the goal of Sharia.
Waleed Shobat, who's not only been on this program, but was one of my Understanding the Times 05 speakers, and his comment, I'm going back to Keith Ellison, Minnesota. Well, let's just say we have some challenges when it comes to our elected officials. But Keith Ellison, according to Waleed, Keith Ellison was sending a message. Keith Ellison is the first Muslim congressman in Washington from the state of Minnesota. And Waleed Shobat in your film says that Ellison was sending a message to America, we are winning.
We are winning. We are winning. Exactly. And the same applies to Obama.
Yes.
The Muslim world completely understood when this man with a middle Muslim name, Hussein, who would not give the name, his middle name, Hussein, here in America, But the Muslim world completely understood that a man, Obama, incredibly sympathetic towards Islam or surrender, peace to Sharia, was in the White House, was in America, and it gave huge confidence to the Arab world, who is out to bring the rest of the world under what they call peace, salam, submission, surrender, to this worldview of Sharia.
Let me divert for just a second here, same topic, just diverting a tiny bit from the film to get your opinion. How do you think all of this, it will probably go on fast forward now that we have someone in the White House who is very friendly, wanting to capitulate? I'll go even further, Carol, and say wanting to appease almost every Muslim in the world. How do you think things are going to change because of this?
Well, Jan, you see, what was one of the points of this film is to explain that there are two conflicting worldviews, and the worldview here is that it is okay to lie and deceive. These are also called jihads.
Mm-hmm.
There's the jihad of deception, the jihad of lying, and the jihad of words. So we have these people that know how to speak to the Western mind, how to use the Western legal system, how to use the democratic system within America, but they're lying because their ultimate agenda is to bring the world under submission to peace or Islam, Sharia law, submission to their way of life, which they think will help solve all the problems of the world. So they're kind of coming under the radar, if you will, the Trojan horse coming in to speak to the West in the terms that the West understands, whereas all we have to do is look at the history of the Muslim, the Mohammedan, whatever he's been called in the past, the Moors, the Tartars, whatever names they've been given, to see that they have been driven by the sword for militant occupancy, or to occupy the entire world with Sharia law.
Right, but I want to go back and say, how do you think this is going to affect not only American foreign policy, but just the overall Oval Office with someone who's friendly to Muslims in it?
Well, we're seeing it right now.
Yes, we are.
One of the things in the Quran says that you may not befriend Jews or Christians. Their ultimate goal is to annihilate Jews and Christians. So one of the ways we're going to see it is absolute outspoken hostility towards Israel,
You're
which
right.
of course is happening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you've got Obama at the moment with his spies in Jerusalem so that no Jews may build in Jerusalem,
that's right.
That is an amazing system that is taking place right now. You've got the, you know, in Fairfax, Virginia, the idea to expand 34-acre campus accommodating 200 additional students for jihad and to push the curriculum of Sharia in America. So what we're seeing is the taking away of democratic democracy, freedom as we know it, the ability to practice what we want to practice in order to be subjugated, to surrender to under this sort of perpetual jihad, and surrender to Islam thinking, the idea of submission.
Let me reset the stage for those who've joined us late. I am talking to Carol Matriciana. She's co-founder of Jeremiah Film. She now has her own company. Let me give a web address here. Carol TV, that's CarolTV.com. You can order the DVD Islam Rising on my website, Olive Tree Views, as in viewpoint, olivetreeviews.org, or go to Carol's website, caroltv.com. You'll find a ton of other products at both websites, and you can order very, very safely online. Carol, Noni Darwish, of course, is in your film. Noni was one of my speakers, Understanding the Times, 08. And, of course, all of us love Noni because she's just such a unique individual. And Noni says in your film that she heard Muslims chant in the street. Now, she came to America, I believe, in 1978, thereabouts. She heard Muslims chant on the streets of San Francisco about the army of Muhammad coming back. She heard them chanting 2, 4, 6, 8, we are martyrs, we can hate. she has tried to sound an alarm for a number of years, couple decades at least. You film in the new DVD, Islam Rising, of course, Muslims burning the U.S. flag. And Noni says, hey, folks, this is what I fled from in the Middle East, only to see it raise its ugly head in America.
She, I think, is one of the most incredible spokespeople in the film. Well, there are so many great spokespeople in Islam Rising, but she particularly, she spent her childhood in Egypt, as you say, and she was 8 years old when her father died while leading covert attacks on Israel. So she firsthand saw the workings of this fighting of Sharia law, this submission of peace, of salam, Islam. And he, you know, she was considered the daughter of a martyr, a shaheed, because he died in jihad. And this was considered so incredible that she, basically, her family were elevated to a position, quite a high position in Muslim society. But Noni is absolutely, when you see a former Muslim seeing Islam rising here in America the way that she is trying to explain it to us, that it's a different worldview, you've got to understand what's happening. And her particular emphasis, which I think is incredible, is, you know, the treatment of women in America, that if they do marry Muslims, and of course part of Dawah is this missionizing, if you will, on college campuses for these men to get American wives. And Noni says, be careful, because in the Muslim faith, a Muslim man can marry a child as young as a year old, if you can understand that. Of course, they can't have sexual, they can have some sexual intimacy, but they can't consummate the marriage until 9 years old, which is what Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, this religion of submission, subjugation, did. He consummated his marriage with a little 9-year old girl who clung onto her doll in you know, with his marriage with Aisha. But the dowry, Noni explains that the dowry is given to the family in exchange for this woman, and the woman becomes the slave of this in the marriage. And here we have Sharia law. Because of the population growth in America, there are those that are fighting to have Sharia law for the Muslim community. In other words, if a woman here in America is beaten, as W.L. Carty in the film explained, she was beaten, she knew other American women that were beaten, because the Quran says that a man may beat his wife, how long the stick is to be, where he can beat her. So the Muslim community in America want the Muslims tried under Sharia law, which does not see anything wrong in abusing women or making them slaves in a marriage. And when a man kills a woman, as happened in New York, where an American Muslim woman wanted to divorce her husband, went to the American courts to divorce him, and he beheaded her, because it was considered an honor killing under Sharia law, and he wants to be tried under Sharia law, and the Muslims in this country want this to be possible, so that Muslims that are acting according to the Quran, what Muhammad said and allowed, that they can continue to be protected under or ruled by Sharia law, rather than the infidel's law, the American law, the Western law, that allows protection for the abused. And in England, in fact, where I just recently was in England, and I'm watching London, now called Londistan, if you can believe that, like Pakistan, Afghanistan. Here we have Londistan, and England has been permitted Sharia law, where a man, a Muslim man, can marry 4 wives at one time in England under Sharia law, and those wives can have social benefits from English taxpayers, which is just crippling the economy. To answer your question, how is it going to affect America? I mean, all we have to do is to look at England, the West, Spain, France, to see how the Muslim dominance which is what they're after in these countries, is working, because they say that if the Muslim dominates, then Sharia law must come in for the dominant number.
Hey, you are listening this hour to Carol Matriciana, filmmaker, and listening to Understanding the Times. And Carol, you, one of the things you brought out in the film, Islam Rising, is that to me this was shocking, and I don't quite understand it, and I'm sure you have an answer. And that is, right after 9/11, 30 to 40,000 Americans converted to Islam, as mosques, of course, encouraged this, welcomed this, and that this is a part of Dawah. And again, Dawah is the milder jihad. It's not necessarily violence. It's infiltration. Carol, when you and I look at the films of 9/11 and the towers falling, and yet 30 to 40,000 Americans decided, hey, this is cool, I am going to join the Islamic faith. This is hard to comprehend.
It is hard to comprehend, and it just shows, Jan, the emptiness in people's hearts who are seeking for peace. And the scriptures tell us in the last days that they'll be crying out for peace and safety. Mm-hmm. Now, here you've got a religion called peace. In Arabic, salam means peace. But they say that peace can be attained if everybody is submitted to this law that will rule us all, so that we'll be mindless and follow this ruling. So after 9/11, what happened is the Muslim apologists, I'm going to call them apologists, but actually it's all part of Dawah, the jihad of missionizing, the jihad of explaining, the jihad of deception and words, that they explained what peace is, what Islam really is, and that these people that went into the Twin Towers were extremists or terrorists, and they tried to separate themselves from it. But that is so totally not true, because the very basis of Islam, or this Arabic word that means peace, the very basis of it is war, and that they have to war against Jews and infidels, and war against anyone who will not submit to Allah's rules as written in the Quran, given to Muhammad by revelation from the angel Gabriel in a vision, and interpreted in the Hadith, which is another holy book. And these are the writings that we must all be submitted to. So when you've got these apologists, if you will, after 9/11, explaining to Americans who perhaps have not understood the history of this religion, they think, oh, it is a religion of peace, and these were extremists. But let's go back just to the beginning, when Muhammad was born 500 years A.D., and every aspect of this group, these tribes, these Bedouin fighters, is all about war, 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 and more war. You just have to see their incredible invasions, even amongst each other. So it's not only against Jews and Christians. They warred against one another. They had tribal warfare amongst themselves. So it's Muslim against Muslim, Quraysh against Bedouins, Shiites against Sunnis. You know, people don't understand that the Muslims that were loyal to the murdered Ali, or one fraction of the a family tree, if you will, because after Muhammad died, they didn't know who would be the successor. So there were these various successors that came up. And the sons of Ali were called Shiites. They're the majority in Iran. And then you've got the others who are called the Sunnis. Well, let's just look at the two factions, just the Shiites and the Sunnis, that have long demonstrated that Islam is peace, supposedly, this word Islam, which means peace. They've been fighting against one another, and in just 8 years, the war between Iran and Iraq, there were more people killed than in World War I. Well, what we were talking about is that how 30 to 40,000 people in America converted to Islam after the tragedy perpetuated by Muslims in the 9/11 disaster. And how can this be? Well, part of their soft jihad, the jihad of deception, the jihad of, they say they don't proselytize. Well, of course, we see their history that they usually conquer by the sword. But in the West, in America, it has to be done through rhetoric, verbal rhetoric. Mm-hmm. And this was part of the process that's put out in debating and television discussion, that they are a religion of peace. Well, what we have to understand is that the word Islam, technically salam, means peace. But that peace, from their worldview, is that the world must be forcibly subjugated and surrender to this peace that they decide is the best way for us to live. In other words, for women to be clothed in certain apparel, for to eat in a certain way, to not only dress in a certain way, but speak in a certain way, go pray in a certain way 5 times a day, to mosques, to go celebrate Ramadan for the whole month of October and fasting, etc., etc. This is all part of what they call surrendering to peace or Sharia law. But one just has to look at their history, where they have been a religion of slaughter. And as we were saying before the break, it's not only against the infidel and the Jew. And by the way, they've got Quran, the surahs or verses in the Quran that says that they must not befriend Jews or Christians. But we see that this is annihilation between themselves. It's Muslim against Muslim. The way that they took over Saudi Arabia, how Muhammad actually took over, was fighting against Bedouin tribes, their own people, slaughtering their own, striking off the heads of anybody that would not submit. So they called infidels anybody that would not submit to Allah, the greatest of the over 300 pagan gods that Muhammad deemed to be the seniority or superior of the many pagan gods at that time. So here we see that this, when it says in the Quran, O Prophet, struggle with the unbelievers and hypocrites, make war on the infidels, this is their own people. So here we have this spirit of hatred, which then, as they grew and grew amongst themselves and became greater in number, then they started moving into to the east, to the west, moving into Europe, moving into India, for instance, the land where I was born and raised. 700 years, it was about 712, that the Muslim raiders under Muhammad Khusan came into India, the invasion of India, and Jan, this was the greatest Holocaust that history has ever seen, totally unparalleled in history, where 70 million, million Hindus were killed in India, where the streets ran with blood, and the massacre perpetuated by Muslims in India was huge. So this has been their spirit of subjugation and surrender, what they call the Arab word Islam or Salam, meaning peace, is nothing to do with peace.
I keep going back to Dawah. I really, and which is, again, folks, if you joined us late, Dawah is a subtle form of infiltration. It's not, and I'm talking here into the Western world. I'm talking here into subtle infiltration into America. I already said in the first segment that all sorts of people are being appointed to high positions, including Homeland Security. All sorts of Muslims are being appointed into high levels of security, Homeland Security, by Janet Napolitano, Barack Obama. And then, let's see, we have Brigitte Gabrielle in your film. And she says, and you know, Brigitte has had quite an experience growing up underground and eating grass, by the way, because of Islamic infiltration into Lebanon. She's been on this program a dozen times. That a Muslim, and I'm going to leave the name out here because I have to be a little bit careful myself, Carol. For instance, a Muslim who might get to a high position in any country, but let's stick to America for the sake of discussion, put his hand on the Quran, and you referenced this a little bit earlier, they can lie with their hand on that Quran as long as he or she is advancing the cause of Islam. It is okay to lie. You did emphasize that earlier. I feel it needs, in other words, the loyalty within Islam, the loyalty within this dawah or very soft jihad movement, it's not loyalty to family. It's not loyalty to nation. It is only loyalty to Islam.
It's loyalty to Allah,
yep.
who is the founder of this Arabic word called peace, salam.
Yes.
And that is what it is. And jihad, by the way, means combat. So the jihad of word is verbal combat, and it's sought to inspire and manipulate the thinking of those to say that peace is peace, that this Islam, this word that means salam, peace, subjugation, submission, that this is okay. But all we have to do is look around in Arab nations to see it's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are the murder of Muslims at the hand of Muslims continues in
That's
these
right.
Arab nations. We see, the way that Muslim regimes, there's scarcely a Muslim regime that is not ruled by a dictator who seized power from another Muslim. All we have to do is look at Syria and Iraq. And here we've got Brigitte Gabriel. She's an Arab. She's an American Arab. Arab nation.
Carol, she's not. She's a Maronite. She was a Maronite in South Lebanon.
I'm sorry?
Brigitte Gabriel was a Maronite in South Lebanon, unless you're thinking of Noni Darwish.
No, she calls herself, I mean, she speaks Arabic. She's an Arab. She was raised in Lebanon, and Lebanon is an Arab nation. I mean, within the idea of course, she's Lebanese, but she speaks Arabic. Mm-hmm. She's been in an Arabic culture. She considers herself very, very knowledgeable.
Yes.
Obviously, she's Arabic in the sense of Lebanon, the Lebanese being Arab-founded is what I'm saying. If there's any definition or complexity, then forgive me for making it sound confusing, but that's what she would call herself.
Okay. All right. Let's transition into this issue of Muslim moderates, because, again, you've got Waleed Shubat in your film. And Waleed, again, he's been, to my understanding, the times, and he's conference. He's been on air with me numerous times. And Waleed, rightfully so, is very, very concerned about these so-called Islamic moderates. And basically, he says they're there to aid and abet terrorists. And our tolerance, allowing things to exist and to let them push their own agenda. He is suggesting, Waleed Shubat, in your film, Islam Rising. Again, get it at my website or Carol Matriciana's website. And by the way, you are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. He is suggesting there may be no moderates. What is your take on this?
Oh, I totally agree with him. I mean, either one is submitted to the Quran and Allah, the God of Islam or Salam or this worldview, I'm going to call it a worldview, you're either committed to the law of this worldview
mm-hmm.
written in the Quran and the Hadith, which says certain things, or you're not. So the tragedy is that they're trying to separate, if you will, the white side of against the dark side, and I don't want to deviate, but in one of my movies, Harry Potter, about magic. I mean, this is what the pagans or magicians or Wiccans or Satanists will try and do. They will try and say that there is the white side and the dark side of the force, and the white side's okay, but we just need to look at the source. So here we have them saying, well, there's a moderate side to Islam versus the extremist, but it's all jihad. And jihad is absolutely the compulsion. Jihad is so important. And by the way, jihad means conflict. It is so important to Muhammad that Muhammad, the founder of Salam, this religion of so-called peace, declared it to be the second most important deed in Islam. So here we have jihad, which is a perpetual conquering of the world to have this worldview. And whether it comes across on the white side as a moderate or the dark side as an extremist terrorist act, the source is still the Quran. The source is still the revelation that Muhammad got from the so-called angel Gabriel, written in the Hadith and Quran, which every Muslim, that is the servant of Allah, the servant that submits to Salam or peace or subjugation and surrenders to this belief system, must do this. And as Walid said in the film, when he was with fellow Arabs, they would talk in a particular way, but when they're with infidels or unbelievers, they speak in another way, because that's the jihad of deception. So, you know, we had, for instance, let's say Obama, when he was campaigning, as raised as a Muslim, with a Muslim father, he never denounced any of his Muslim heritage. In fact, he told the Americans he was a Christian and belonged to a Christian church. Well, this is all part of the jihad of deception. He's a moderate. He's a sympathizer. So, you know, of course, we see some of the more fundamental, some of the Wahhabis and other factions of Islam not being very happy with him not being quite so forthright. But there you go. That's what I said, that there is continual conflict amongst Muslims who continue to fight with each other because, you know, some want to be totally submit, and that is Wahhabi. Now, here's an interesting one. Most of the mosques, every 5.5 days, there's a new mosque built in America, and it's funded by Wahhabi money. And Wahhabi, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he wanted to go back to the purest teaching in the Quran. He advocated the Islamic Reformation, a return to the Quran, what he called the true peace, the true salam, as practiced by Muhammad and the early Muslims. And so this is the money, the Wahhabi money, is being invested in America, in the mosques, in every university across America that has a Salam Muslim peace, so-called, supposedly, chair, is funded by Wahhabi money.
Okay, this would be primarily, correct me if I'm wrong, would this be primarily Saudi Arabian money?
Yes, it is. You know, they spend billions of petrodollars funding the global dissemination or the global dawah, if you will, this message of missionizing through Saudi Arabian money, petrodollars.
Let me ask you a question here. it might take you a little bit by surprise, but I want your expertise on this. Do you feel that America may be less safe from a violent terrorist attack simply because they know they have a sympathizer in the White House, therefore they don't want to ruffle feathers and create a catastrophe in this country? And here's where it comes back to your film. Therefore, they're going to try to emphasize dawah or soft jihad because of this, because they know they have a sympathizer in the White House.
A good question, Jan, but the point is the technique. It doesn't matter what the technique is. We mustn't lose perspective of the goal, and the goal is that all the world must come under Sharia. Now, there may be discrepancies from Muslim faction, Muslim denomination to Muslim denomination as to how quick that should be. We see the Iranian president who is putting us under crisis management so that the Mahdi, the Antichrist, can come in, or the Muslim Messiah can come in immediately. So he is absolutely fighting for immediate conquest, whereas we've got a softer pedal going on in America. But you see, the numbers have to be raised. The population has to grow in America. The seeding still has to take place. There still has to be the jihad of polygamy, the jihad of marriage, mm-hmm. where the Muslims that come over to our college campuses must marry four women, seed them, get them to convert, to subjugate, surrender to Islam, and grow in numbers. Because once the numbers are here, then the dawah, the softer approach of proselytizing through people in high places, you know, it's, the technique is perhaps a little softer, but ultimately the goal is to get America to submit to Sharia law, just as England
yes.
has now been forced to submit to Sharia law.
Yes. And I think you said that when a country reaches a population of 20% of Muslims, what was the conclusion of that statement?
Yeah, there were statistics, and I carry them on my website, but there are various statistics that say that they say that when the Muslim population is at a certain place, then there must be more police to man, let's say, Muslim quarters. As in England, they wanted more police, more Muslim police to be in the British police force so that the Muslim police would be the ones that could bring order, if you will, to the Muslim society, because then they're dealing with one another. So this is the idea that if they can raise the number, the population number, then they can have more people in positions of power, whether they be in the police force, whether they be in political power, whether they be in the schools, whether they be in the legal profession, whatever it is, they want Sharia law to be able to rule their Muslim community, just as they want when there's an honor killing, or as in San Francisco last year, where a father killed his two children, his two teenage daughters, because he felt that they were fraternizing with infidels at school. He considered that to be an honor killing, mm-hmm. and the Muslim community wanted that tried under Sharia law and not under American law that calls that murder.
Well, we haven't even gotten to, and our time is winding down here almost to the end, but we haven't even gotten to the fact, the stark comparison between Hitler's brainwashing of youth and Islam's brainwashing of youth. Frankly, I call Islam today Islamofascism because the analogy is so identical as to how the youth were indoctrinated 60 and 70 years ago and now again today. A little different twist on it, but nonetheless, indoctrination is indoctrination, and so we're seeing it again here in Islamofascism.